This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
All right, all right, all right. It's almost that time of year. The time when I set the foundation for supreme and total dominance at my fantasy football draft. How can I be so confident? Because I used the ultimate draft kit from the Fantasy Footballers. Man, it updates all off-season, so I never worry about using old busted information. Consistency charts, auction values, full projections. Oh baby, this thing's got it all. If you want to keep it 100 for your draft, head to ultimatedraftkit.com and get your copy today.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Thursday, June 8th, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Jason Moore, Mike Wright, Andy Holloway. Happy to have you with us. Great episode for you today. The best. I guess that's kind of TBD, but probably the best.
Probably our best. I would say an episode today has a wide range of outcomes, Andy.
It's kind of wild.
We'll keep you on your toes. Maybe it'll be bad. You'll have to listen to find out.
Got him hooked now.
Is today's episode good or not? Stay tuned to find out.
So far, so good, Mike. We're doing well. You can follow the show.
Still going okay.
Yeah. You can follow us on Twitter at the FF Ballers. Follow Mike at FF Hitman. Follow Jason at Jason FFL. I'm at Andy Holloway. And we're on Instagram. YouTube.com/TheFantasyFootballers. We are entering the part of the offseason where we get to enjoy some like very kind of mediocre highlight videos that are made into pretty much the best thing we've ever seen because we're so hungry for football.
Oh, we thirsty boys.
I watched Garrett Wilson catch a touchdown from Aaron Rodgers in practice. Which,
yeah, but it was awesome.
Was it for you? Was it?
Yes, of course it was. Because it was.
Because you had Garrett Wilson on the team. Got it.
Yeah, he's on my dynasty squad, and it's Garrett Wilson running, just a straight line, but he's turned around the whole time.
Yeah.
And then it's the classic Aaron Rodgers back shoulder, so Garrett Wilson knows exactly when to jump and do a spinning 360 touchdown grab.
Did you ever see any of the highlights?
20 touchdowns for Garrett Wilson this year.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Did same amount as Allen Robinson last year after those hype videos.
I remember the same play.
Did we get the video?
It was very similar.
Oh, we got videos.
Oh, man.
We did?
He dominated this time of year.
No. I know he dominated.
We had videos.
With videos. Just mossing dudes. And they were that exact same play.
It was that play.
Yeah, 100%. I remember it.
Yeah, but it wasn't Aaron Rodgers. So I was excited.
Point proven. I saw Chigakonkwo with a nice touchdown catch from Ryan Tannehill. I'm starting to believe that all of these quarterbacks and receivers are catching passes and throwing balls. And I mean,
practice makes perfect.
Incredible ones.
Yeah.
What's great is, you know, you go on your Twitter timeline, you see all these wonderful videos, you know, they're just showing the highlights. And then you keep scrolling and you come across Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask. Over and over, and it's their highlights. And I hope it's not their highlights because it is just. Well, you're. I'm just missing guys against air.
Did you guys see the video that J.J. Watt came out with speaking to?
I did not.
You did not? Neither
no.
of you did?
No.
He had a – I thought it was a wonderfully well-spoken video talking about what happens now with attendance to every single practice, OTA, camp, video on your phone. Every player is being recorded at all times. And his point was like, please, for the love of God, let these players develop. He says he knows firsthand from being in camp that there will be defensive ends that want to try a new move, which is something you should do to get better.
Yeah.
But they won't try it because if they get blocked for three or four times in a row in practice, they will read about it on social media and how they got blocked, they look terrible, they don't know what they're doing. And he's like, this is how players get good. They try new things, and this is the time to try them. He's like, let them develop.
It sounds to me like they should just try better new moves, you know?
Yeah.
Succeed with them. Huh? I mean, then they'll write about that.
Not every person is like this show where we have everything so refined.
Now,
that's a good point.
That is true, but I remember the media talking to Zach Wilson, and they were asking about his interceptions.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, man, this is where you find out, you know, like, because I agree with that you should at practice, you need to take chances on things because it is practice. And Zach Wilson did, and it translated to where Zach Wilson is right now, which is on the bench.
Look, I'm not saying it works out for everybody.
Well, yeah.
But I do believe this idea, because we get on here. All we have is the past. We do not have the future. We can only talk about what a player has done. And we act like these players cannot improve, get better, do things. Like, you see them take the step forward that are not predicted. Players come out and they become much, much better than we expected them to be.
Sure.
Devontae Adams.
Yes.
Devontae Adams. Yeah, and it's like, we all have kids. They go to practice. We watch them from year to year, how much better they get as children. They're not superstar athletes that have these weight rooms and coaching staffs and diets and nutritionists and, like, the idea that a player that was kind of pretty good can't become great, or a player that's not that good can't break out, is a silly notion. Like, yeah. I think in fantasy we should look at those opportunities and maybe recognize some more of those players that are going to make those strides. We talk about what, post-hype sleepers? What mm-hmm. are they? That's what happens.
Yeah.
All right. Couple things at the top before we get into a great quick question. We got some news to talk about, and then we've got our wild card players on today's show that we're going to dig into. But two things at the top. Number one, the Ultimate Draft Kit available right now, ultimatedraftkit.com. You're going to see all of our rankings, projections, sleepers, breakouts, player profile videos, tons of tools, resources for you. It's awesome. Check it out. Number two, the Dynasty Podcast.
Yeah.
New episode released yesterday. It's about Dynasty trade targets. If you're like, what is that thing you're talking about? Well, because you're joining us maybe for the first time this year, we launched the Dynasty Podcast. It's once a week. Features Kyle Borgannoni, Matthew Betts, and generally one of the two guys sitting across from me, Mike and Jason.
Yep. I was on this recent episode we did. We talked about trade targets, players who we think are, you know, of course, undervalued, because that's kind of what Dynasty is. But we also had a really good conversation about just trading in general, of like giving tips and a lot of really good insights there from myself.
Oh, okay.
And of course, Borg and Betts, they do a good job as well.
They were okay.
Yeah,
I like how
okay.
I was.
They are there.
I like how I was selling. I thought I was doing a good job. Uh-huh. Go listen. It's free. It's once a week. It's a Dynasty show.
And I closed.
Mike.
Read you. Loud and clear.
Mike took it over to comment on his performance on the show.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. It was.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Chase.
I mean,
oh,
look.
Great.
I've listened. Yeah. And usually when Mike or myself on those podcasts, when we were speaking, it's really good.
It's fantastic.
Just so good. Anyways, Andy, what were you saying?
That's it. I'm going to leave it there. But one more thing, Megala Show, we're live in LA, end of August. If you haven't heard about that, ballerslive.com. There are a few tickets remaining. You want to come watch the show live. August 26th, the Palace Theater in LA. Come check it out. You will not regret it. All right, quick question of the day. This one comes in from Chris over on Twitter. Hey, Ballers, quick question from Canada.
Oh, bonjour. Hey, stay safe, my friend.
So Canada is...
on fire. Canada's on fire.
But all I've heard about is the way that the American countries are receiving the smoke.
Well, because...
is there smoke up there, too, or did they send it all south?
They got big
billows.
Big manual fans. Hmm. I mean, all we care about is how does it affect America. But really, stay safe up there. Sounds insane.
He's indoors, and he's asking this question. He's got the air filter on. How much do you guys value ADP, which is average draft position, in your draft decisions? Because we have become an ADP-driven offseason culture in fantasy. Where do players move around, and where should they go? And how much do you factor that into your draft decisions when it comes to home leagues, things like that?
I factor in quite a bit. I'm never going to reach more than a full round. If you're at the turn, if you're at, the 1 or the 12 spot and you're waiting 24 picks, I'll reach a little bit further. But for the most part, in the first 5 or 6, 7 rounds, I'm going to try to stick within my tiers of players I like, which are totally separate from ADP, but within ADP, so that I know when to grab value, who's going to make it back to me. If you're ignoring ADP, I think you're making a mistake.
Can you go rewind for a second and explain what you meant by, just so I understand it, what did you mean by within ADP, without ADP?
I'm using, I'll look at the tiers, when I'm drafting, I got the Ultimate Draft Kit, and I look at our tiers, and I will keep in mind that I'm not going to take someone just because they're at the very top of my list of who's available. If I know that their average draft position is 2 rounds later, I'm going to wait a round and grab them at that point. And there's been enough, especially over the last 4 or 5 years, I think we as an industry have gotten very smart. And ADP has been a pretty accurate predictor of future success. Generally speaking, we know what we're talking about. Now, in the later rounds, if I'm round 9 and this guy's a round 11 pick, I want the guys I want at the end of drafts, and then I kind of throw it more out of the window.
Yeah, the ADP is incredibly important because it's the market, and that's when you're in the draft, that's what you're playing. You're playing the market, saying, I know things better than other people do, and the ADP is saying, this is what everyone, not everyone, but just a generalized consensus, this is the value of this player, and what is the true value of drafting a player? Because it's not just the selection of that player, it's who did I not pick. That also has to factor in when I'm at the end of the first round. So ADP is incredibly important for actually knowing what is the value, the true value of a pick.
Yeah, I think it can be complicated when it comes to, obviously there's an ADP for Sleeper, for Yahoo, for ESPN.
Yeah.
If you're drafting on platform, that ADP is being shown publicly because the player rankings are going to be in order of how they've been drafted. So it's going to be something you can use to your advantage when you're on platform in a live draft. I will say this. I mean, we've been in 16 years, I think, now in our main league. We get surprised every single year.
Of course, yes.
The first 2 rounds we get heavily surprised. So it can be one of those areas where, I think we've all probably gone, oh, my gosh, like I thought I could get that guy around later. I thought I could, those are the gambles that you take. I think the big thing is it's a data point that you factor into your kind of master plan. But don't let it give you a false sense of security, especially 4th, 5th, 6th round and later, that, oh my gosh, I can't take, I think Justin Herbert's way better than I think he is, than Lamar Jackson. So I'm just going to wait because ADP says I'm going to guaranteed get him in the 6th round. I mean, that doesn't always play out that way.
Yeah, and realize you are playing a game that is, everything is probability. And ADP can help you make an informed decision or take a risk, an informed risk, because I know that this player is 8 picks behind on ADP. My next pick is in 4 picks because I'm close to the turn. I know that the probability, the risk probability of this player making it back to me, it's a high percentage chance that that player will drop to me, so I don't have to pick to them and give up this other player that I want to pick.
It's funny, though, because if you are really convicted about a player, Jason, mm-hmm. that you love, if you take him, there you're happy.
In the moment, yeah.
But you're also happy later because you don't know if he would have gotten back to you. And I'm not trying to make an argument on the other side of just throwing it out the window at all. I'm just thinking logically, like, if you pass in this one spot, you are taking a measured risk, and the only possible outcomes are you're happy or you could be really disappointed.
Well, and that's why
if you love the player.
Yeah, that's exactly why we're talking about it. It makes a big difference whether you're doing this in the second or third round versus doing this in the eighth or ninth round because of what you're giving up. Because if there's a chance that the difference between a second round player versus a third round player is pretty drastic. The difference between a third round player versus a fourth round player is pretty drastic. So if I'm reaching to grab a player that I might be able to get next time, it's usually more worth the ADP risk to play the game because you're going to add a more impressive piece at those earlier rounds, to hopefully pair with the guy you get closer to ADP.
Exactly.
News and notes from around the league.
Well, I don't think I knew how ridiculous this quote sounded until I just read it to myself. NBC Sports reporting Brock Purdy will start week one if he is ready to play football when the season rolls around.
Okay.
So, I mean, I guess that the news there is that, like, Purdy, if he's ready, he's the one. It's not currently being put out there that Lance can have that job.
Yeah.
That's the news. I mean, it's
the belief. The belief of this reporter.
Yes.
And I think that is most everybody's belief. I know in the UDK, that's how we...
George Kittle's belief?
We statted it out, and they've come out and said that the team has said, like, he's earned the right to be the starter. It's unfortunate he got injured, but he did. He did earn that right. He just won a ton of games, played excellent.
His numbers, like downfield throwing in those games and on the move out of the pocket, they were like best in class, best in the league during that stretch. So I think it might be more overwhelming to them than it is to us.
Yeah.
How much he has that role. But that's the belief right now being reported. All right, Jason, I don't know if you can handle this one. Commanders head coach Ron Rivera. I mean, this makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. He said Jacoby Brissett and Sam Howell are competing for the week one starting job.
This is a wolf versus a cow fight for the week one starting
job. Where's the beef, brisket?
Hey, where's the beef?
There we go.
Yes, where's the beef?
I'm on team brisket.
Yeah, look, Jacoby Brissett is a better quarterback right now. Like, Jacoby Brissett can lead an offense. He did very well last year with the Cleveland Browns. He won games. He supported Amari Cooper. He is, like, if your job right now for the Washington Commanders is I want the best chance of winning week one, then it probably will be Brissett. I believe that Brissett's ceiling is just not anywhere near where you need it to be. We also know what he isn't, and he isn't.
It's not the moon.
Yeah, it's not the moon. You're looking for, you know, maybe dunking on a 10-foot hoop. You know that people can do that. That's Jacoby Brissett, and you know he can move the offense. He can support you enough, but you're probably not getting to the playoffs with him. And so I think that the chance there where you say, okay, Sam Howell has some gifts that Brissett doesn't have. He's, I think, more mobile, more has a better arm. And if you can develop that, maybe you can actually do something a little bit more special. So that's always the gamble.
Last
for all
year,
these.
For the first 11 games, Cleveland and Mr. Beef Brisket himself, second most plays per game, 24 points per game. Amari Cooper was a revelation. Are you rooting for one or the other for McLaurin? Oh. Are you rooting for one or the other for Dotson? I mean, I know McLaurin is kind of your...
Yeah, I'm still...
Number one guy.
I'm still rooting for Sam Howell here. I mean, this is just a matter of talent evaluation. We haven't seen enough out of him to know whether or not Howell is very good. But I guess the way that I look at it is if he's as good as I hope he can be, then he should be the week one start.
I'd bet my life that both these guys play this year.
I have them statted out to split.
I mean, so do I. And it's like, this is what Washington does. 12 starting quarterbacks in 5 years, which is by far the most in the league. Like, both of the... If I'm Ron Rivera, this is the most fatiguing, tiring exercise I've been doing every single year. Do you think Howell starts week one, or do you think it's Brissett, Mike?
I think it will be Howell. This quote is interesting to me simply because this is a complete 180 from everything that we've heard over the offseason going into the draft. Like, we're not even – it's Sam Howell. We are confident that Sam Howell is our guy. I thought bringing in Jacoby Brissett, that's a fantastic football move, great backup. But Sam Howell, he's our guy. Well, they're competing to be the starting quarterback for week one. And the good news for Ron Rivera is he's not going to have to be concerned about this in 2024.
Because he won't be there?
He will not be there.
All right. Neither will either quarterback, probably. Gus Edwards.
They won't have to be concerned about it either.
Gus Edwards, Michael Thomas, both will be ready for training camp. Quick news there. Rashad White says he expects a lot of balls coming his way in the passing game. This was him speaking on SiriusXM. I expect that too. And I think
that's his fantasy value.
Their offensive line, if healthy, will be a vast improvement over what we got last year. So whoever's running the football, having opportunities in the backfield, that will be better. I don't know if it'll be good, but last year was kind of terrible. And then one more piece of news. This one's interesting. The Vikings offensive coordinator, Wes Phillips, on whether Ty Chandler, who we've talked about, he's part of the
second-year running back for the Vikings.
Yeah, part of the depth chart there in Minnesota with the Dalvin Cook situation hanging over their heads. When he was asked whether Ty Chandler was ready for an increased role, the quote he said was, I think he's going to have to be. Which means Madison Chandler should be what is on the way. Dalvin Cook's still a Viking.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing on here. Like, this Ty Chandler is who we talked about, oh goodness, like week 16, week 17 of last year. When you're doing that, when you're starting to scan ahead on your dynasty waiver wire of someone who can just skyrocket in value, Ty Chandler was one of those players that we highlighted of, you need to pick him up just in case the Vikings move on from Dalvin Cook. And what is going on? What is going on in Minnesota with Dalvin Cook that even the offensive coordinator is talking about Ty Chandler, who, if Dalvin Cook is there, Ty Chandler is just at the back of the depth chart, probably getting 10 touches this year. Why are you talking about, well, he's going to have to be ready. Make your move. Do something. Get your team ready.
Yeah, but I enjoy watching you. All right, let's move forward here, take a quick break, and then we'll get into our wild cards.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Breaking news.
Did it happen?
No.
Is Dalvin gone?
Breaking news. He is still a Minnesota
Viking. Oh, man. Take another break.
He just bought a new house in Minnesota.
Well, I hear it's lovely in the summertime.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's get to it.
No, I'm saying, no, brakes, guys, why aren't the brakes working?
Because I cut the brakes! Wild card!
Yee-haw! I enjoy that very much.
Yeah, I think the judge enjoys it very much as well.
Oh, yeah.
Well, always sunny in there. Oh, by the way, the verdict is in. The rapscallion has arrived.
Oh, we're going with it. We're going with the rapscallion?
What a rapscallion.
You good with that, J-Rap?
I mean, let's find out.
Get on the mic.
Yeah, it works.
All right.
He did tell me earlier today, it's not the first time he's been called the rapscallion.
It makes sense. I mean, his name is Rap. It's the beginning of that word.
But I think that was the runaway hit.
It's fantastic. Look, Rapscallion, it's good. It's fun. Should he mess up, Crapscallion is right there for us.
Oh, boy.
Thank you, Mike.
Oh, boy.
You're welcome, everybody.
All right.
Do you still like your name?
I don't like it quite as much. It was better about 5 seconds ago.
Yeah. No, I'm really happy right now. Don't screw up, buddy. All right, wild cards. What are we talking about? Players with a wide, big range of outcomes. There are a handful of these guys that, look, you bet on them, you get it right, they could be keys to a championship run. It's all going to be about cost, confidence that we have, that you have in these players to have a wild card season that ends up on the good side. But it could go two totally different directions. Tua Tagovailoa is the first name I'm going to throw out there. And, you know, you I think there was some news this morning. It seems so unnecessary because of how good he was last year. But it was Mike McDaniel coming out and saying Tyreek Hill is so far ahead of where he was last offseason. It was like, wait, you can't be better than you were last year. But just knowing the offense, like the capability of the Miami offense, they could be the best offense in football. That is
yes.
They could average the most points per game. They could be the most electric. And so you can't do that unless Tua puts up an incredible season.
Could you imagine an NFL-wide relay race where every team grabs four guys?
Oh, yeah.
Like Miami's
gone.
Oh,
yeah. What you got? Tyreek runs the anchor, right? And then Mostert's in it.
And Waddle.
Yeah, and Waddle and A-Chain.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
I mean, they're gone.
So you can't – this is the equation here for Tua, is you can't have – they can be the best offense in football, and you can't be the best offense in football and have your quarterback not making a big impact in fantasy. And we saw it in stretches last year. And so, you know, led the league in yards per attempt, passing yards on play action, highest touchdown rate in the NFL, had a 6-touchdown week. So you even see it in a single week, his ability to be the best quarterback fantasy wise. And there were parts of last year that fantasy players leaned on him to be their starter. And so that is in the range of outcomes. Like, I see him in drafts now. We go through a best ball draft and you're like, do I take him now? When do I, you know, especially in best ball where you're like, oh, you might be able to throw out some of those injury games. Like, if you told me Tua Tagovailoa right now, or I'll throw it to you. If I told you that he's a guarantee for 17 weeks, how does that change the equation for where you might rank him? Because he's a player that I think is fairly underranked due to the injury situation.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Tua. The you know, I've got him statted out for 17 weeks. So the risk when you're making that pick is certainly high, but I think Tua could easily be, you know, a top 8 quarterback with the weapons he has. When I'm at his ADP, I've oftentimes selected him to be my quarterback in best ball.
He's being drafted outside the top 10 right now. He was 9th most fantasy points per game last year. Mike and I have him at 11 in our rankings.
Like, I'm very interested in Tua. I think he's a perfect wild card to talk about because you had that stretch, week 2, where he was dominant. He followed that up with a game against Buffalo where he finished as quarterback 25, despite playing 93% of the snaps. Then he has the first big injury, comes back for an entire month, is tearing it up, being a top 5 quarterback, a top 4 quarterback.
It was awesome. It was so fun.
In 3 straight weeks, misses another game to injury, and then here's where he becomes the wild card because he comes back, and he's from week 12 through 16, so you have 5 games. Doesn't pass 20 points at all in that time period. He gets over 16 points just one time, and was that a scenario that happened because of the concussions that he had sustained throughout the season? We don't know exactly what happened, or is it just like he had a stretch run in the middle where it was just he happened to be on fire in that range, and then he got exposed, and defenses figured out this is how we stopped the Miami Dolphins offense because we're going to make Tua do certain things that he can't actually do. That's all up in the air.
It's all part of the wild card equation, yes, for exactly. Tua. Is you didn't have a long enough stretch, a healthy enough stretch, to conclusively come in here and plant your flag and say, oh, he's going to be better than Lamar. Like, I mean, there was a world where you could have said that. The stretch runs longer, he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, for sure, and it's a little bit narrative based with the concussion stuff. So I don't like, betting on this thought process. I don't include it in like my probabilities, but just when I watched the beginning of the year, this was a sharp quarterback, and when he came back after some of those injuries, it didn't look to me on film like
that's a good word for it.
It didn't look to me as if NFL defenses figured him out. He looked off. He missed some passes that he was not, just
accuracy wise, exactly. Right? He was in the 50s or something.
Yeah, in that stretch period, once he came back and things weren't fantastic, he's still putting up yardage. He still has an okay touchdown rate, but he was completing. I'm not even going to hit the button because it's not great, but he was
55.
Completing 55% of your passes. And completing 55% of your passes as a professional quarterback is not a route to success.
Certainly when you have Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill as options in the passing game, you should be completing a lot more than that. So yep. That's my first wild card. Who do you got, Jay?
I'm going to go with a running back here, a running back out of Los Angeles named Cameron Akers. Cam Akers, huge wild card. In fact, if you look at last year, he was a huge wild card because there was a point in time where it was like, he's never going to play another snap of football for the Rams. They were on the outs. We don't know the details of what happened, but it was like him and McVay. Maybe, I don't know. Did they start fighting? Did he, do something bad to him? And then it was like, just like, well, you're out. You're off the team.
He called him a duty head.
Yeah, something like that had to have happened.
Or maybe Sean McVay called him Cameron Akers, which is not his birth name.
Oh,
so I need to step in there.
Yeah, interesting.
So yeah, just went straight Cam.
Just Cam.
Really?
Yeah, just Cam.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Go on.
Feel like could have been better. If you name him Cameron, you could still call him Cam. But regardless,
you're really limiting your options because you can shorten, but you can't add on to it.
I was just told I'm not allowed to call him Cameron because that's not his name.
Like, I can't go, hey, Jasonathu.
Right.
Like, I can't do that.
No,
you wish.
But if
you
I was
could.
Named Jasonathu,
I could call you Jason.
Absolutely.
I could call
what
you
a
Jay.
Short, cute nickname for me, Mike.
A biblical name like Jasonathu.
So Cam Akers is someone, obviously, right now he's being drafted 23rd running back off the board. Not someone that people are expecting huge things from. There is a lot of risk here. The Rams' offense was putrid and kind of fell apart. But I think his range of outcomes, if you want to talk about a guy who is, obviously not in the top 20 running backs being drafted, who has a chance to be really good, like league-winning good, to me that's Cam Akers. And you saw it last year for a six-game stretch at the end of the year. During that six-game stretch, he played 70%+ of Los Angeles, of their Rams offensive snaps. That is an absurd number. Only four running backs hit that mark last season. Dalvin Cook, Saquon Barkley, CMC, and Josh Jacobs. Over the last 5 years, you look at running backs with 70%+ of their snaps, and all of them are top 20 backs, and 90% of them are running back ones. And then you go, well, yeah, but they just had to rely on him because there was injuries, blah, blah, blah. Look at the depth chart. It's Cameron Akers.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no,
new nickname.
That's not okay.
Cam,
we're breaking all sorts of laws of the universe.
Cam, quote, Cameron Akers.
No.
Yeah.
The first elongated nickname
yes,
on record.
So anyways, Cameron Akers.
Cam.
At the end of last year, he was extremely good. You're talking points per game. This might surprise you, but points per game during that stretch of the final 6 weeks, he was ahead of Derrick Henry. He was ahead of Saquon Barkley. He was ahead of Tony Pollard. He was ahead of Josh Jacobs. And those guys weren't bad during the final six games at all. He was just awesome. He was the running back four over that time period. So we know that he's got the talent, the opportunity, the depth chart to receive that. And then you think, well, what if this offense is better? It's still Sean McVay. Matthew Stafford being back and healthy isn't going to hurt Cam Akers. So to me, he's worth the gamble at where he's going because and on the flip side, him and Sean McVay could be on the outs again, and he could get doghoused away, and you know, Kyren Williams becomes something.
Well, yeah, anytime you have a previous season that included actively being tried, like they tried to get rid of him,
mm-hmm.
that makes him a wild card because do you trust, like Sean McVay came out, I mentioned it earlier this offseason, he said, we're expecting Cam Akers to build on how he finished the season.
Beautiful.
But I would argue they were expecting Cam Akers to do something different than he did to start the season last year. So I think the range of outcomes makes him very scary. But when you look at ADP, like we talked about earlier, and you look at Cam Akers, and I'm looking at my rankings, and I'm saying, well, I'm going to have to choose between Cam Akers or Antonio Gibson. I'm going to choose Cam Akers or Rashad White. It's like really hard not to go for the guy that could be the workhorse.
Right.
Like Gibson Agreed. Won't be that. Like there's no universe where outside of catastrophic injury that Gibson gets that chance again.
And if you had to bet
McKinnon.
If you had to bet like between the Buccaneers offense recovering from last year or the Rams offense recovering.
Yeah, you have an inverse situation there. Yeah. You got Matthew Stafford returning and Brady leaving. So definition of a wild card and the kind, like you said, that can actually, you know, running backs are hard to come by. If you find one late, you've stolen, right? And so
I believe the number one running back to help people win championships last year was Josh Jacobs. And he was basically this slot. He was going around the same spot. Because when you can find a guy in those middle rounds that goes nuclear and is a top five back, you win championships.
Mike, give us a wild card. Cut those breaks.
All right. I want to talk about Drake London, wide receiver of the Atlanta Falcons. I'm going to save my other wild card to close it down because I think that he is like the biggest wild card yet that we haven't talked about over this offseason. But Drake London, last year was incredible. You know, amazing draft capital, comes out as a rookie and puts up truly high-level elite numbers. 27% of his routes, he earned a target. And so his targets per route run number, 27%, that's outrageously high. His yards per route run, over 2, that's outrageously high. And his target share by the end of the year, 29%. That's like Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown. That's that level of a target share in the Atlanta passing offense. But we know that Atlanta likes to run. They just invested a very high first-round pick into Bijan Robinson, telling us with their actions that they want to establish the run, and yet you have Drake London, who looks like he can be a true elite wide receiver in the NFL, but will he get enough volume? So we looked back, you know, on offenses that had low volume. So the best wide receivers on teams that had a bottom five pass rate over expectation since 2019, those wide receivers averaged 95 targets. None of them went over 120. And aside from, you have guys like A.J. Brown who broke the mold when he was in Tennessee. Low pass volume, high efficiency, comes out for, it's good for fantasy football. But the average finish for these guys, wide receiver 35. Now, we all have Drake London ranked higher than that.
Do I?
Yeah, you have him 30. At 30 currently.
Yeah.
So you do have him higher than that, but you have him ranked much lower than ADP. Myself and Jason have him ranked right around his ADP, and it's so hard because when I'm playing fantasy football, talent wins. Talent wins in the NFL, but what does it look like this year? Because you had the Kyle Pitts injury as well, but up until the Kyle Pitts injury, Drake London was still seeing 27% of the targets. So he was still really, really involved. But again, that the target share, when they're poor targets, which we don't know if the Desmond Ridder targets are going to be any better than the Marcus Mariota targets, there's a chance that it's a lateral move. And that we see exactly the same thing from a completion percentage for the Atlanta Falcons. But Drake London is just so, so good. He's so big. I think he proved all doubters wrong of, like, watch him run routes. The guy gets open. This isn't just a big-bodied wide receiver who wins at contested catches. No, he can do that, and he can get open on out routes and deep routes. He's so good. It's so frustrating.
Well, and it's a point against Drake London that the thing we have to point at is these targets per out run, yards per,
yes,
per route, target share, because you can't look at production. Like, he put these numbers up, which were historic, and yet you had, what, like four good games on the season? So, so it shows you that you can put historically Jamar Chase, Jefferson, A.J. Brown numbers together in the target department, and it can still equate to horrible disappointment in fantasy. That's a possible wild card outcome there.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like Mike said. He had a 27% target share through those first 11 weeks when Kyle Pitts was there. That's a great number.
Yes,
but his 17-game pace, just so you know, like it, in the actual counting stats that help you in fantasy football, that was only a 97 target pace.
And so, Bijan's going to get about, I don't know,
he'll get
75
a bunch.
To 100.
He'll get a bunch of targets. And
yeah, it's so tough.
And the behind-the-scene metrics are fantastic. The production's not great, but 73 for 800, nearly 870 yards and five touchdowns in 16 games played for a rookie wide receiver. Those are good numbers. Those are numbers that someone should build upon and go into next year and have a fantastic season. But we can't trust what Arthur's plan is going to turn into a huge season for Drake London.
Andy, do you think Drake London is a great wide receiver? Like, well, I haven't heard your genuine thought of him
I think he's capable of holding down the number one job on a team. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I don't know if that's – does that answer the question?
Yeah, it says you think he's okay to me. That's how I take that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we had so little opportunity to see – I mean, you had no consistency. It's very tough. I mean, I think he's a good wide receiver. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he's Darnell Mooney when he was about to inherit a number one role. I think he's better than that. I think he's capable in the right offense. If we were talking about Aaron Rodgers arriving and them changing to a passing offense, we'd be talking about Drake London the same way we're talking about Garrett Wilson. So I think he's almost to that level.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, we're going to do a rapid round for a second set of wild card names before we do best ball breakdown. Dalton Kincaid is a wild card to me. Dalton Kincaid, yeah. Rookie tight end / slot receiver.
Is that chuckle from you, Jason, say he's not a wild card for you?
He's so into him, he wouldn't even put him as a wild card. Jason just wants him.
No, closer to the opposite, but it's just he makes me chuckle because of what the fantasy community is going to do over – however it goes, like whatever happens on his wild card season, you're going to have some victory laps galore.
It's not as intense, obviously, because Kyle Pitts was a top five pick in the NFL draft. But there are some resemblances of the pre-Kyle Pitts era that are going on with Dalton Kincaid of people freaking out about every mention of him. Anytime Buffalo mentions his name, you're like, huh? What? How are they going to use him? What slot? Okay.
Look.
Joker? Okay.
It's an exciting proposition because of what it's attached to. Dalton Kincaid arriving in Atlanta is not the same conversation. He's not a top five pick. Him arriving to a team that had a abject void beyond Stephon Diggs is what makes him a wild card.
Yep.
You have their general manager, Brandon Bean, coming out and talking about, you know, putting him out into the slot, something that they wouldn't do as much with Dawson Knox. He led the entire NCAA in slot wide receiver, tight end, hybrid snaps. This is a capable athlete. And I know we have a history of rookie tight ends, but I do struggle with that kind of sample because we don't have a 20-year sample of players being added to a top five offense playing slot. We don't have, you know, that type of tight end arriving to the NFL level very often. So do I think he can be, like, what's his range of outcomes? Like, he's a top seven tight end if things go right. That doesn't mean, look, Kyle Pitts, it was like he's going to break the game. He's going to be a top two
Kyle
tight
Pitts
end.
Kyle Pitts had 1,000 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He scored once, right?
I don't
was
remember.
Was it once or twice?
It was brutal.
Once. So the potential is what makes him a wild card because you're going to – Like, I've met 13. Somehow Mike has them lower than Jason, unless that's misprint. That's probably a misprint.
It might be. I don't know.
Jason's probably, it says 17. That might be 77. But that might be 27.
So here's the question.
17 seems right.
Here's the question for Dalton Kincaid. At tight end 11, like, it's, that can't be that bad. I mean, if you're drafting the 11th tight end off the board, you are not investing very much into him. Underdog
ADP. I wonder
ADP.
What is, yeah, that underdog ADP is going to be higher than his redraft ADP.
For sure.
For sure. Sleeper right now, he's 15.
Yeah, so
that's
to me,
like, why not?
Yeah, and that's what makes him so kind of exciting, I think, is if you did draft the slot, if you drafted the number two target, if in Buffalo you stole.
Sure. And that's it.
That's the only walk. I mean,
right now in redraft, he's in the 13th round. So, you know, he's not costing you anything for the chance, for the shot to take.
In underdog, I get the maybe rebellion from the hype, because it's probably overextended. You said 13th round in redraft. He's probably a top 12 tight end in underdog.
Yeah, he's the tight end 11 right now in underdog.
And do you think that's stupid?
Yeah, I think that's very stupid.
You don't think the underdog gamble, I mean, we're going to talk about best ball in a minute, but like when you look at players that, I guess you're probably taking them over Njoku, you're probably taking them over Everett, you're probably taking them over.
Yeah, I mean, he's going ahead of some of those players. He's definitely going ahead of Everett. But, you know, Dawson Knox is someone you can grab at the very end of a draft who might end up with just more touchdowns this season on the same team.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, give me your second one.
All right, I'll give gentlemen. You my second blitzed wild card. It was a wild card selection on this show last year.
I was going to say, this feels like a permanent wild card.
This is stay wild.
He is the permanent wild card, but it's no longer New York Giants wide receiver Kadarius Toney. It is Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Kadarius Toney. The guy has been awesome when he has been running routes on the field. The guy has not been running routes on the field very much. You know, is one of those things when he was in New York, it was mostly injury. Then he goes to the Chiefs, still dealt with more injuries, but seemed like he got healthy and still didn't play that much. When he was there, though, he was another one of those, you know, you're talking percentage things. He was targeted so far in his career, 25.8% of his routes.
That's very good.
That's very, for context, here are the only players
last
year.
Can I get
year.
An order of routes, please?
Yes.
Can you give me a double-sized order of routes?
Give me more routes. Here are the players who hit that mark in 2022. Stephon Diggs, Justin Jefferson, Hopkins, Lamb, Olave, Devontae Adams, Drake London, Cooper Kupp, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Tyreek Hill. It's like, is nonstop studs, and then there's Kadarius Toney, who just hasn't been able to be on the field. So if you're telling me that he ends up winning the more permanent job, you know, we don't know. Is it Sky Moore? Is it Rashee Rice? Does Hopkins show up? You know,
25 Chiefs targets in eight games.
Phew.
Yeah, I mean, even in the Super Bowl, he was barely used.
So 25 targets, so 100 routes.
So, I mean, 11 total snaps in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Snaps.
Yep.
And yet he caught a touchdown and had a 65-yard punt return, made a huge impact
Sky
on that
Moore
game.
Caught a touchdown.
That almost feels more corollary to that stat, because when he's there and he's out, it's like a design play for Kadarius Toney right now in Kansas City.
Sure.
Andy Reid's like, you're there. You're playing 11 snaps, so when you're there, it's probably drawn up for you.
So it's one of those things where is he going to inherit the Mecole Hardman role and he's just a gadget guy? That's in his range
right,
of outcomes.
Right.
Does he inherit the snaps and routes of Juju? Because if he does and he gets those targets, he's one of the rare athletes that could do special things with Mahomes.
Agreed. All right, Mike, close us down with the wild
All
cards
right.
before we get into best ball breakdown.
I am very excited to talk about Brandon Cooks, who is now on the Dallas Cowboys. He will be turning 30. He's been in the NFL for quite some time, played back in 2014. But he's been, you know, a little bit buried on the Houston Texans the last three seasons. Last year was in particularly bad, finishing as the wide receiver 49 in 13 games. Things were bad. You know, there was like some bad blood going on in social media with Brandon Cooks and the team. Things just were clearly not great. But you look back, and so you had last year. That was terrible. That's it. That's basically the only time that Brandon Cooks has been bad. In 2019, he had a year that was shortened with the Rams. He only showed up in 14 games and had a not-so-great year then. But other than that, he's a top 20 wide receiver. And the question is, like, is Brandon Cooks still good? And the Dallas Cowboys think that he is. They brought him in. And, okay, so the question of is he good, is he okay? But either way, he's going to be the number two option for the Dallas Cowboys. You have CeeDee Lamb, who's locked in. Great wide receiver. But beyond that, what do you have? Looking at the Dallas Cowboys play last year, you saw, you're like, man, this team really, really, really needs
Michael Gallup.
They need another wide receiver who can do things for this offense. I think that a lot of the struggles that Dak had, especially with turnovers and things, had to do with the rest of his wide receiver core could not get it done behind CeeDee Lamb. And Dalton Schultz, the doctor, who's kind of a reliable guy, he's now gone. Are they going to find that with Jake Ferguson or the Schoon Man coming in as a second-round pick? That's TBD. But Brandon Cooks, I think he's still good. We just had, you know, speaking of hype.
There was a little bit today.
We had more hype today from saying that Brandon Cooks just torched double coverage and Dak threw.
I believe the quote said wild card Brandon Cooks just torched coverage.
Sure. Torched double coverage for a perfect 60-yard strike from Dak Prescott, who Dak Prescott historically been a very accurate quarterback. So, like, if Brandon Cooks really has anything left, I think that he is a screaming value right now in fantasy football.
Rankings-wise, you're on Cooks Island.
Yes, I am.
Like, I didn't realize it.
I didn't either.
I do think that part of the wild card built in is, I mean, there's been plenty of hype about Michael Gallup being back in form after the injury. It takes a year to get
what
back.
What is the form, though?
The form is, did you see the check they gave him?
Yeah, I was going to say, the form is what they paid him to come back to be. They said, buy Amari Cooper. We're going to pay Michael Gallup instead.
Sure.
And yeah, I mean,
Cowboys handing out really good checks. I mean, like, they paid Zeke a lot of money, and then they were like, you're going to need to get out of here.
Five-year, $57 million contract.
They gave
after the ACL injury.
How much was guaranteed? It was 57.
$27 million guaranteed.
Okay. 27 versus 57, very different. But like they gave
$10 million signing.
They gave Amari Cooper $100 million or whatever it was, and they're like, you're gonna have to get out of here.
I'm not saying you're wrong,
but
I'm just saying that's one of the. I'm trying to find the way that it goes wrong.
Right, and you guys have Brandon Cooks ranked more like his ADP is. It kind of dawned on me the other day, and I was talking in the office to Jason. I'm like, is Brandon Cooks still good?
Right.
Because if the answer to that is, yeah, he's still it doesn't even have to be, oh, yeah, he's still Brandon Cooks. It can be, yes, Brandon Cooks is still pretty good.
Wide receiver 14, 9, 12, 13, 15, and 20. Those are six seasons in which he was a top 20 wide receiver.
And I know there's a lot to be said about what is the identity of the Dallas Cowboys offense, Mike McCarthy and his 1960s version of the NFL that might be coming in. But they were playing with the lead last year and still throwing the ball. And so after Dak returned from injury, they were third in total yards, 10th in passing yards per game, 5th in expected points per pass attempt. Like, they were tremendous, and they were cooking. And so I think it's wild here of we have the wide receiver, too, who has historically been great for fantasy football, has top-notch speed, doesn't have to be the number one. Like, that's another great thing for me in Brandon Cook's corner. Is CeeDee Lamb gets to be the number one guy and Brandon Cooks gets to be the alternate. Like, that's incredible for a guy who's going to turn 30.
Yeah, and the cost is nothing.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
Best Ball Breakdown, presented by Underdog Fantasy.
Well, every week we have a Best Ball Breakdown here, presented by Underdog, a new segment leading up into the season. Go ahead and hit the button.
I say it's short and sweet today.
Talking about some nasty boys. Your favorite last round pick in best ball.
These are important for a number of reasons. One, if you hit them, they obviously set you apart. And two, this is where you can differentiate lineups. Not everybody is drafted. You know, when you look at guys with the ADPs, you know, over 200, they're not drafted in as many leagues. For example, last year, Geno Smith was only drafted in 2.6% of rosters, and he ended up
being drafted.
Yeah, just being drafted, and he ended up being a top 10 overall player in advance rate. So,
success.
Know, yeah.
Diamonds in the rough. Give them to me.
I'm going to give you my three favorites. These are just the guys I have personally been drafting the most with my last round pick. The first, a former first round running back playing on the highest powered offense in the league.
We have to laugh so we don't cry.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Last year, my number one drafted guy was Jerick McKinnon in the last round. And it was like, well, look, there's an opportunity. He gets on the field more than you think on a great offense. I'm just going to take the shot. Take the shot. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think there's – I mean,
so
look.
So what? Who cares?
So what? Who cares? You take a shot with your last pick. My second one, former first-round NFL draft pick who has been pretty good in his career, just not great.
Top 10, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah,
I think it was like top five or something. He was the number five?
Number five.
Oh, my gosh.
Corey Davis. Corey Davis of the New York Jets.
So do you actually vomit a little when you make your last picks?
No, I like these guys.
No, you don't.
I do too. I'm happy when I can grab these three players. These three players, I think, in the last round are going to actually score fantasy points. Most of the guys that you're drafting in the last round, they're not going to. But
your third name is my favorite one.
My third name is
not a first round pick.
Not a first-round pick, but he was an NFL draft pick this year. He is a rookie wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, Michael Wilson. Michael Wilson is a name that in the draft process, if you were a dynasty player, you didn't hear about him before the NFL draft. So he gets no hype. He is undrafted. I mean, you want to talk about a player who's going to be drafted in less than 1% of best ball leagues and you want to make a differentiation? Michael Wilson is an actually really talented wide receiver who in college didn't get to play that much, but he inherits a spot now that Hopkins is gone where he's just got to beat out Zach Pascal. And then if he does, he could be an almost every snap player in two wide receiver sets.
So I was going to say, where are you projecting he's going to be part of this offense? Because it's Hollywood Brown's locked in. He's the number one guy. I think that Rondale Moore is locked into his starting spot. And then I would put the third wide receiver as Greg Dortch.
So I see Rondell Moore.
Those two guys are going to be outside.
Yeah, exactly. I see Rondell Moore and the Dortch in the slot.
Yep.
And so that's where I see Michael Wilson with an opportunity to be on the outside. And then if Kyler ends up coming back earlier than we think, now all of a sudden you've got a decent opportunity, a decent talent, and a decent quarterback.
I'm with you. So I think the fact of the matter is this is a new general manager. This is his pick.
Yeah,
like this is a new regime. This is a lost season, most likely for Arizona. So reps for Michael Wilson are more valuable than reps for some of these guys, potentially. So, Mike, what are your nasty boys?
So I just want to throw out a couple of guys. Look,
the Williams twins.
Yeah, a couple of Williams here. And look, backup running backs over the course of the season, they gain value. That's why the zero running back strategy works. And I was looking through the underdog ADP, and it's kind of surprising to me that these two players are available at the very end, very late, because at this point of the season, you're not 100% confident who truly is the backup running back for teams. That can fluctuate, that can change. It can change when an injury happens to a starter, the player you thought was the backup doesn't go into the 1A role. Those types of things happen. But with the information that we have right now, Travion Williams of the Cincinnati Bengals has been talked up a lot. And you're looking at their depth chart right now. Joe Mixon is in front. Samaje Perine, who was on the field a ton, especially in third down, working as a pass catcher, he's gone. And Travion Williams, at least the way that they are talking about him right now, he seems to be the most likely player to fill into that Samaje Perine role and actually get on the field. And on top of that, you just have the upside. Like Joe Mixon is here. We are. He's still not a lock to be on this roster. We think he will be at this point, but that is still not a lock. Some legal things are still being figured out. And then the backup to Jason's wild card is Kyren Williams, who he was a rookie this past year for the Los Angeles Rams. Week one, it comes out. I think it was like right before or right after the game that Kyren Williams is actually going to be a huge part of this rushing attack. In week one, they played it really close to the vest. They didn't let that leak out. Unfortunately, Kyren Williams, because he was a rookie, was on special teams, and he got a high ankle sprain, and then his season essentially got torched. So you have Cameron Akers.
Thank you.
Oh,
update. I have we have added Cameron as a nickname to our database. I did it already mid-show.
So we have Mr. Cameron Akers, who is he really a lock to be the starting running back? It's up in the air with everything that happened last year, and this team seems to really like Kyren Williams. And
you and I did too.
Oh yeah,
coming into the league.
Yes, he was on tape, production wise, a fantastic running back. Believe out of Notre Dame. Tanks the combine like no player has ever tanked it before.
He put like lead weights in the shoes.
Yeah, like maybe Kyren didn't know you don't have to wear the weighted vest yeah. while you're doing the 40. Yeah. Bold choice for him to do it that way, to just kind of show off. But he, as far as we know right now, is the backup and could be featured heavily in their plans. We just don't know. And to be available at that range of a best ball draft when you don't have to decide when to put him in or not, I think he's a good pick.
Let me circle back to Trevion. Because okay. I think that there's a – like it just doesn't make sense for what this team has gone through with Joe Mixon, for losing Samaje Perine, to somehow commit more to Joe Mixon. It doesn't make sense. Like they don't have – at a minimum, even if you think he's clear of whatever legal repercussions – have transpired in the past.
Sure.
There is the possibility of those things happening in the future because of having multiple issues. I'm just saying from a team that wants to compete for a Super Bowl, you either have tremendous confidence in Trevion Williams the depth, or you are going to add a body. But I don't think any of the outcomes is like, you know what? We lost a crucial piece of our Super Bowl run and a crucial piece of our success last year in Samaje Perine, and we're cool with that.
Yeah, and
I don't think that makes sense.
I'm in total agreement. They did add Chase Brown in the draft. I think he was a fifth rounder or something.
That's correct.
So not. And Trevion Williams is very much feels like Eno Benjamin for the Arizona Cardinals. Trevion Williams, if you do not recall, had a monster production profile.
In college,
yeah. And then gets absolutely buried in the draft, and yet they keep bringing him back to be on this roster. So he's doing something right to impress the team.
I think I stated Chase Brown for more. My point is more the Bengals. The Bengals have to have some kind of confidence beyond Mixon.
Yeah, I love Chase Brown. That's where I would put all of my chips. I'm not in on Trevion just because we've seen him for 4 years. He's been this team, and he's had opportunities, right? Yep. Joe Mixon missed games last year. And in weeks 12 and 13, when Trevion was active and Joe Mixon wasn't, he had 2 for 18 and 1 for 3. Like,
I think the point of Mike's, like, looking at the backup, though, if it's Chase Brown for you, it's Chase Brown to the argument.
Exactly.
It's like, go target the backup with opportunity on a great team.
But and for this segment in particular, it's a player who you can get with your last pick. You can't get Chase Brown with your last pick. He's very, very late.
I was going to say, where is he going?
About 15th round, ADP 179.
All right. That would be the Chase round, right?
Apparently.
That was Best Ball Breakdown presented by Underdog Fantasy. Get your first deposit matched up to $100 using the code BALLERS. That is it for today's episode of the show. We've got an ADP price check episode coming up, a Footballers AMA, and a whole lot more. Maybe even some Hopkins news around the corner. We'll find out.
Or Dalvin Cook. Who knows? Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
Hey there, Foot Clan. Still listening? I'd like to take this brief moment to invite you to become a part of the world's greatest fantasy football community, the Foot Clan. By supporting the show at jointhefoot.com, you get access to exclusive episodes every week, access to a thriving community of 30,000-plus like-minded fantasy football players, and access to special tools to help you win each week. Learn more at jointhefoot.com.